Can I just be shameless and say what I'm actually really excited for? Can I just say it?
Yeah.
I'm really excited for our live show.
Oh.
I'm nervous.
I always get nervous.
Are you guys nervous about
You're talking about the one that's coming up November 15th out there at the Hollywood Bowl? Yeah. I'm very nervous about
That's the one where people can go to smartlist.com/live to get tickets. That's the one I'm talking about.
Wait, yeah. What? Oh. What's the what? Wait.
It's smartlist.com/live.
Is yeah. where I would go if I wanted to buy a ticket.
That's where you'd go if you wanted. But anyway, I'm nervous about it because it's going to be the Hollywood Bowl and we got a couple great guests.
I had a bowl of Honey Nut Cheerios.
Okay, great. All right, let's get to an all-new Smartlist.
Smart.
What do you guys call it when you say, you know, when you're scheduling something, you're like, well, I can't. I'm doing a pod. I'm doing a record.
I've got a record.
How do you refer to what we're doing right now when you talk to other people?
I just record. I say record.
I say record. Yeah. Or sometimes, or I'll say, I have to record a Smartlist.
Yeah.
I got a Smartlist.
That's a long
What do you
version.
Say?
I've said pod a couple of times, and it just feels terrible.
Yeah, of course it does. Well, it sounds terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, what about the three of us get to put our chest and faces on each other on Sunday for the first time in in forever?
What do you got? What do you mean? We're all going to have dinner on Sunday?
Sunday night.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Good. I don't think Amanda's going. Right?
Amanda's not. So I actually have an out. But I was thinking since you guys are going to be there.
Well, you better be there.
I'm
going to
be solo.
Sure.
I'm going to be solo too this Sunday. So it's going to be.
Really?
So we're going to have. Yeah. Jason, will you be?
Yeah.
You
do
be
you
my
want
mate?
Me to wear something special?
Yeah. Yeah, I want you to pick me up. Yeah. I want you to pick and open my door.
And I'm going
to
wear that thing that you
I always asked for.
No, I got it. No, I got it.
Hey, we saw, we missed you last night. I was over there, Willie, last night with Jay.
You were?
Yeah, just for a quick bite.
Quick bite.
How was that?
Yeah, it was good.
Okay. So you guys had dinner. We're having dinner tonight.
That's right. Me and Willie are having dinner.
So
you guys going to go to Jar?
Doesn't matter.
Yes. How did you know that?
Truly?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. You want to go or no?
Well.
Nah, we're going to see each other Sunday.
You can come. Come.
Thank you.
It's going to be fun.
Because I haven't hung out with Carolyn yet, really. So, sorry. Can I say that?
Oh boy.
Oh, well, the internet's saying it, so I think we can.
I don't know.
What did we talk about last night, Jay? Oh, yeah. We talked about, have you seen this alter ego thing I was talking about at the table where it's a new device, it's like an AI device and you put it in the back of your ear.
Yeah, listen to this. This sounds like a nightmare.
And whatever you think of, it translates into
text.
Audio. Yeah, audio text.
Can you imagine that? Like basically having a microphone on in your brain?
That's a nightmare.
Yeah. But I mean, only if you turn it on. Like you don't. It's not like
you know. I would venture to say people would pay thousands and thousands of dollars to have that eliminated if that was something that was stuck on.
Most people imagine if most things thoughts were vocalized, the jails would be full,
and they'd empty their accounts to get rid of it.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's voluntary. You don't. It's not like stuck to your head.
No, I understand that. I'm just saying they're going to have a tough time.
Kill JB.
Pay us money for this new device. That just sounds like a. Like a
I hope Jason misses this putt. I hope Jason misses this putt.
Hey, did I leave too abruptly last night?
No, you actually triggered a mass exodus, which was fantastic. We all left right after that. It was,
do you mean we all? How many, what are we talking about?
15, 20, 25 people?
No, it was like eight people.
What? Hang on a second. Wait a second. Pump the brakes. What was I left out of?
This was a specific little bite.
It's a bite and smile. It was a bite and smile.
Bite and smile. Yeah.
And I don't know these people.
Exactly. Not very well at all.
Oh, okay. No.
But
we
also
Sean,
did. Yeah,
you have a guest today.
I do. I know. We're gonna get right to it. I was gonna share one more thing, but that. Well, no.
I'd love to hear it.
I'd love to. You worked on material. Go ahead.
No, it's not. It's okay. Here we go.
No. Wait. I want to hear.
No. It was just that. It was that topic. That whole thing about men and women and like sexual opportunities. So like, I asked all the women at the table, like if a guy came to the door, and there was the best looking guy in the world. Would you, and he propositioned you whether, politely or impolitely, whatever it was, just based on looks, would you go for it? And of course, unanimously, every girl around the table was like, "No, I would never. No, no, I would never
I
do
think
that."
You can be much more specific than that. You can say what the actual.
Well, it
was,
it was, it was like if a guy, if a like drop dead gorgeous, unbelievable guy was at your door and he just like exposed himself, but not really like, but like in a or answered in a robe or something. And of course, every girl was like, "No, that's disgusting. That's weird and bizarre and not." And then, but conversely, all the gay guys and the straight guys were like, "Yeah, I would totally go for that." You know what I mean? So,
meaning if it was the opposite, if the door opened and a woman had her robe open,
right.
the guy would say, "Oh yeah, cool if I come in."
Yeah.
As opposed to the, and I guess Sean was making a statement about the difference in sexes.
It reminds me of this old joke that my grandfather had, and this is almost a dad joke, but it's worse, it's a grandfather joke, which is a guy's on a desert island. And he's there by himself for years and years and years. And all of a sudden, this beautiful woman comes out of the surf and she's wearing a wetsuit. And she says, "When was the last time you had a nice cold beer?" And he's like, "Oh my God, it's been forever." And she reaches in her wetsuit, pulls out a beer, and he chugs it down. And she goes, "When was the last time that you had a smoke?" And he's like, "Oh, years." And she's like, pulls out a cigarette, lights, and he's like, "Oh my God, it's incredible." And then she looks at him and she goes, "When was the last time you played around?" And he goes, "You got golf clubs in there?"
That's a good one.
It's a grandfather joke.
Perfect segue.
But Shawnee told me a great grandfather joke, a granddad joke. Really dad joke. I was like,
was it the cat?
Maybe Sean
should tell it.
I kind of punched up the reading a little bit.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. How does a cat like its steak?
Rare.
It's not even funny.
Man. Oh,
all right.
Man.
You gotta have the little tiny claws up when you do it too.
Oh, that'll help it.
Yeah,
that'll
help it.
Guys, we're so silly.
We're over. We're over time already. All right, look. We got a guy.
Just thank our guest now, and
we'll apologize first.
He's a big deal, guys.
Okay,
I might geek out a little bit. Okay. I'm a huge fan. He was born in Guatemala, and then he kind of ping-ponged around the United States as a kid while his dad finished his medical residencies. He almost joined the Marines before making a sharp pivot to Juilliard. He spent most of his teens in Florida playing bass and singing in a ska punk band, including one that opened for Green Day. But now he's one of Hollywood's most versatile actors, playing everything from a folk singer, mad genius tech guy, a rebel pilot, a superhero, a Shakespearean royalty. He's ridiculously talented. Absolute joy to watch. One of my favorite actors of all time, Oscar Isaac.
Oscar Isaac.
See the claws out.
I'm so telling my 6-year-old this joke when he gets home from school today.
You know what? Okay, we're rolling speed and action.
Action.
Let's see your reading on rare.
He's like, I can't.
It's gonna be hard to beat, man. I think the claws are definitely necessary.
You need the little kitten claws. Yeah, Sean's got great dad jokes. You got any dad jokes, Oscar?
No, my heart's pounding. You guys are so fast funny.
Oh, no.
And so boring. Intimidating with your speed of wit.
Please.
Oh, no. You should read what people say about me on this thing. They're so sick of me. It's unbelievable.
I'm sick of me.
Oscar,
not me. I'm really happy. You know, because there was a moment there, I remember during the pandemic where I think there was a moment where it's like, oh, can I come and do the show way back then, and I couldn't because I was stuck on there. Yeah.
You've been on my list to be on the show since day one.
Yeah, you've been on my list.
You have not stopped working on the greatest things that this business has to offer since then and before. Well done. So happy every time I see you in something, I get more of you.
I just watched Frankenstein last night.
Wait a second. You got home from the dinner and watched Frankenstein?
No, I'm sorry, during the day yesterday, not last night.
Oh, thanks for the phone call.
So, but we're gonna get to that. But Oscar, holy moly, man, that your performance was
incredible.
I know, I'm so psyched.
I mean, just incredible. I don't know how you do it, but anyway, thanks for being here. I'm guessing when we met a couple years ago, you could probably feel what a big fan I was.
Oh no, Oscar, you described it from your side. What happened?
No, be honest. It was at the awards dinner.
It was. I think before that, it was the Lin-Manuel Miranda kind of things that he does in the street.
Right.
And then we all had to like go out. If you're in a show,
he's erased that. It turns out he's erased that from his memory.
I have a notoriously terrible memory.
It's so traumatic.
All things. I just in like an over-stimulated moment like that, which was insane.
Yeah,
it was so
I know.
Crazy.
Me too. I'm like. So insecure.
But I remember you were so sweet at the, what was the award? I don't even remember what the
Tony Awards?
No. It was before that where everybody kind of has a dinner on a stage.
Oh, yeah. How awkward was that?
Yeah. There's a crowd and then we're all on stage eating.
Like we're on display. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you came over and said hi.
Wait. Sorry. So you're all on stage eating and there's a crowd in the theater watching you.
Well, they're eating too, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Right?
I think so. I don't remember.
Meals on the left.
I couldn't see him.
You can't really see him because there's lots of lights on.
I mean, this is a new kind of dinner theater where everybody's eating, including the cast.
And then let's get to Sean coming over and doing the offensive whatever it was.
Was it about Dune?
Was it about Star Wars?
Maybe it was a Star Wars thing. But we were across the street from each other.
Yeah.
You know, you were doing Oscar. The triumphant, much celebrated play.
Sure.
I was doing the marginally tolerated play across the way, Sidney Brustein.
Yeah.
And it was cool to be up there. That was my first time doing Broadway. And it was kind of by happenstance.
Really?
Because we were
What doing about Hamlet?
That was at the Public.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Which is what, technically off-Broadway?
Yeah, that's off-Broadway. Okay.
I'm just huge fan. But I want to talk about, I had no idea you played instruments and like inside, oh my God.
Lewin.
Yeah, Lewin.
Incredible.
Is that you really playing in the movie too?
Yeah.
And was that a requirement the Coen brothers wanted?
They did. They actually were mostly, at first they were just auditioning musicians.
I have no idea you were a musician. That's so crazy.
Yeah, I played, you know, I mean, I didn't play folk music necessarily or like that kind of style. And so when I heard that they were going to be auditioning for it, I just really went in hardcore on learning like Travis picking and doing all that. And it was.
Wait, what's Travis picking?
Travis picking is kind of like, it's almost like ragtime on piano where, you know, the left hand is doing the bass line and the right hand is doing the melody. Boom, boom,
Shawnee, can you
boom,
do
that? Boom, boom, boom,
yeah, it's called stride piano. Yeah,
stride piano. Yeah, so you're kind of doing that with a guitar where the thumb is doing the bass line.
Oh, really?
And these guys are just playing the melody.
Oh my God!
Difficult,
oh, man.
Yeah. It's kind of like it's like almost like the drumming where you have to kind of get some separation between the
Jason,
things.
Jason, I saw you drumming in a music video yesterday. Is that do you want to comment on that?
What?
What is that?
It
must have been a Black Rabbit adjacent music
video.
Oh,
right. Oh, that. Yes.
Yeah. It just popped up yesterday, and I just saw you hammering away on the skins.
On your Instagram?
On my Instagram,
I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's a crazy
thing. I saw the first episode of that. You're so great in it.
Oh, thank you, man.
It's like you're so kind of so effortless.
Can I tell you last night, I haven't started it yet because I want to have I want to binge it all in a row. I think I'm going to watch it this weekend.
Too.
But Bradley texted me last night. He watched till the final text was at 3:30 this morning.
He sent me such a nice
saying,
text.
"I just finished Black Rabbit. It's incredible. It's unbelievable."
That's
and then
great.
He called me this morning. He's like, "Bateman, literally, I'm not. This is not exaggerating. Bateman is an incredible actor. I know.
Fuck. He did. Seen in the car with the coins and the reaction to the gun. Be like, get it out of my face. It was so funny and real. It was so great.
I love that. He's so good.
Back to you. I want to talk about your memory because I'm wondering if I have Alzheimer's or if is it just Same. Us actors that, well, although Will is an anomaly.
Yeah.
He can remember everything. He's Mary Lou Henner's brother. But do you think that our brains have morphed into a one-trick pony where we can just remember lines and everything else, it decides, I can't have this. And it self-edits things that are not going to our bottom line.
Like I still know all these Shakespeare monologues, but I think it's like Maybe it's like this anxiety. The moment there's even a slight doubt about a memory, it just erases, or a person's name or anything. Like the second there's a hesitation, it goes. Yeah.
Do you have face blindness at all? I have a little bit of that. Where you're just
Really?
I do. Where I'm just like, Scotty, my husband Scotty's like, you've met that person like 20 times. I'm like, really? And it's horrible. It's a horrible thing.
I think it is that thing. It's like the it's like a hiccup that happens, and then you're like, it's like a paralysis.
Yeah,
I have this. I have a good memory, but I do have that too, Sean. It's not face blindness, but I can't remember people say we met or we know each other or we did the thing. Like
it's
that
awful.
Part of my brain is completely cut off, but I can remember.
But February of 2003, you can remember.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Well, February 2003, I auditioned for Arrested Development, and that was in February. Yeah.
How would you?
Jesus, but November 2018, you probably know what was going on.
Yeah, I do. November 2018, I went to England for 6 days. Okay.
That's fucking
crazy.
Nuts.
Wow. Yeah.
That is
you can
crazy.
Just pull it up. I don't right get that. Oh, God, the brain is amazing.
But then there are certain parts of it that I can't remember. And I can also remember dialogue as well, Oscar. And I can remember also through, I guess, from like voiceover stuff over the years, I can remember copy from voiceover campaigns that I did 30 years ago.
Here comes a GMC tie-in, guys.
Well, no. I mean, GMC, I did it this morning.
Was anything professional grade this morning?
Well, no, but you can get 0% and all 2025 GMC Terrain 18.
Good Lord.
That river doesn't dam itself.
Okay, Oscar, I want to talk about your... So not only did I not know that you played in a band and sang in a band called The Worms... Right?
Nice. One of the names of the band.
The Worms.
What kind of music was it?
Ska. Obviously.
Yeah, it was like ska punk, right.
Oh boy, ska. I can smell the weed from here.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
This was before, I wasn't drinking I didn't drink alcohol until I was like 24 years old. So I was like, I was straight edge.
Really?
Oh, wow.
So I was, so I was always the odd one out.
But how did you do that thing where you, because Sean said it in the intro ineloquently, that you were in a band and you were in ska bands and then you all of a sudden go to Juilliard. Was that one day like you're like, hey guys, I'm out of the band, I'm going to Juilliard? Like how did
Kind of.
Really?
Really?
For real?
Well,
for real?
A little bit. It was, but you kind of did straight from Marines to Juilliard, which was, it was, I was... Yeah. I mean, a little bit.
Wait, were you driving a moped with a raccoon tail on it when you were playing in the band?
And suspenders? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Really? Exactly. I'll bet you were. God, I remember those.
How many times have you seen Quadrophenia? No, sorry. Keep going.
I had graduated high school. I was in this different band called the Blinking Underdogs.
Surprise that cleared. No one had that, huh?
Nobody had it. They had the blinkers. They had the underdogs, but they didn't
but
have
not
the blinking.
Together. And just so you know, Oscar, I was in a band called Sounds from the Stairs. So it's all the names are. Yeah, so keep going. Yeah. Blinking Underdogs.
Pretty good.
So many different band names. And so I came up to New York to do this off Broadway play.
While you were in the band?
Yeah. And we were touring, but Florida. We didn't really get out of Florida.
Yeah.
And this was kind of as the third wave was cresting and kind of coming down of ska, right?
And when did you start Closet Heterosexuals? That was the third band.
That was before ska. That was hardcore. That was a hardcore band.
Okay. That was hardcore. Okay, got it.
CH.
CH. Is that what you called it?
Yeah.
And now do you still collect guitars? Because I know you collect guitars.
Well, wait, Sean, he's telling a story about how he went to New York to do the play. What are we doing over here?
Well, no, I went to do the play, and then I was up there, and I passed by Juilliard, and I was like, Juilliard, let me go in there and see what's up. And I asked.
Come on.
Yeah. And I asked for an application, and they said that the deadline was due already. This was Tuesday, and it had been due Friday, and I kind of like schmoozed the lady, and I was like, can I just take it back? And and she's like, well, take it, maybe you could turn it in next year. And I went home that night and I filled it all out, and I came back the next day and she took it and like posted
what else
it or whatever.
What else did you have to do to get it? Was there an audition process?
Yeah, then there was a whole audition process where I had to come back and
do like a monologue,
do a couple monologues and do like a movement class and a dance belt. And
wear a dance belt or while you have anybody on your dance belt.
Did you have,
luckily,
did you ever
rare dance belt collection.
Did you confirm? I don't have guitars, but I have a great dance belt collection.
Sure.
Were you able to confirm that the other applicants had to wear the dance belt?
The funny thing, no, the dance belt thing actually was not about the audition, but the first day of when you got in, they're like, this is what you have to do. And I remember I went in with my dance belt and nobody else had put on a dance belt.
We got another one.
Got him.
Why would you put a dance belt on just for a monologue?
Because that's my craft.
Okay, I got it. Okay. I got it.
Don't question.
We'll be right back.
And now back to the show.
All right. So what? So Will's point. Okay. So, but how did you? Where did you? So you were in this band, but you always had this kind of inkling to.
Yeah,
act
I was doing
like,
plays. I was doing plays in Miami as well. So I was doing both at the same time.
And where did the Marines come in?
That was the guy, the sax player of the Worms.
Sure.
He and I just got really good. His dad was a Navy SEAL, and so we started talking about going in, being, you know, getting like buff and, you know, and just like going in on the buddy system, because you could do the buddy system at that time.
Which is what? What's a buddy system?
The buddy system is that you go in with a buddy and then you get to do all of basic training with your pal.
No
with your
way.
Buddy, and you get to do the whole thing. So like, that sounds great.
I mean, it just sounds rad. I mean,
it sounds
real
so fun, right?
Stuff.
You're gonna do pull-ups and push-ups and all this stuff. Like, it's gonna be great. And the thought that you could, I
would never occur to me. I wouldn't even look it up because I'd be like, I'm not getting anywhere close to that.
Right, you're gonna get kicked out when you enter the barracks.
Oh, but God. But then they're like, and then I said, you know, oh, and I'll go in for combat photography. I had watched, you know, Full Metal Jacket, mm-hmm. and I'm like, yeah, like be a combat photographer.
Yeah,
And so we started doing the training. Like, you would meet up every weekend and start, like, doing the training with some of the Marines, like, an early training. And
so you did that?
Yeah, yeah. And I even went and I did the, you go to, like, a hotel and they do all, like, your examinations and health stuff. And you take your first oath. And there's, like, a second oath that you have to do.
Wow.
And then when I first signed up, I remember they gave me a pamphlet that had all, like, the famous Marines, like, the artsy Marines, like, Brian Dennehy and I forget who else. I was like, great. And then I went to sign up, like when I actually really had to sign up, and I was going to go in as a reservist. And I was like, I'm here for combat photography. They're like, oh no, that's just full time. And I said, well, what can I do instead? And they said, anti-tank. And I was like, so against the tank?
Yeah.
I'm like,
how do I get
all right,
in the tank?
I'm going to think about that. Let me just think about it. And then the sax player quit the band and said he and I weren't really close anymore, so I lost my buddy. And then we got enough money. To like record an album that summer, like to record our own like CD.
Right.
And so I was like, I think I'm not going to do it.
Right.
Oh, wow.
So you did not go through the basic training.
No, I didn't go through any of that.
So. Wait, so, but then you, so I want to go back to the thing because I didn't know you collected guitars. So you, how many guitars do you have?
I don't really collect guitars. I mean, I have some guitars, you know.
But you told the Coen brothers you did, I'll bet.
Seven.
Seven's pretty good.
Seven
guitars. That's a lot of guitars.
That's a collection.
Yeah.
Was that the last audition you were on? The last audition I ever did was for Hudsucker Proxy.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it was for the Coen brothers. I mean, I'd read today for the Coen brothers.
Yeah.
Was that the last audition you've ever done?
No. My last audition was for Mike Nichols.
Really?
Wow.
For Betrayal on Broadway.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. When was that?
Terribly. It was 2014. Wow. I remember I came in and I had like listened to a lot of Harold Pinter to kind of do his accent. Uh-huh. And I was going through a divorce at the time, so I was like, man, I'm feeling this thing.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know if you're aware of the play, but it's very much about that, infidelity and all that.
Yeah.
And so I got there, and Juliet Rylance was the reader.
Okay.
She's a great, great actress, Mark Rylance's daughter.
Yeah.
And I did the first scene, and Mike Nichols was quiet, and he goes, where'd you get that accent?
God,
I was like, where'd I get it? He's like, yeah. Where'd you get it? And I was like, oh, well, I was listening to Pinter. I was listening to some recordings and kind of trying to do that. He's like, oh, yeah, well, I guess different English people sound differently. And I was like, huh. And then when we do the next scene, so I did the next scene. And then he goes, would it make you sad to do this play every night?
What does that mean?
And I was like, trick question.
Yeah, how do you answer
that? And I was like, I'm just going to be honest. Like, you know what? I was reading it on the subway ride over here. And yeah, you know, I'm kind of going through something right now. And I feel really connected to like the grief of that and the pain of that. And I feel like, yeah, it would definitely be, you know, delving into that night by night. And then Juliet Rylance, God bless her, she's like, but also fun too, right? I was like, oh yeah, no, but also so fun. I mean, come on.
So fun.
Doing this on Broadway with you, oh, it'd be so fun.
Yeah.
And then they're like, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And then I walked out. And
who got it? Do you remember who got it?
Rafe Spall.
Okay.
Yeah, Rafe Spall. And they did the play. They did the play as a comedy.
Oh.
As well.
How about that?
So the right answer would have been the opposite of.
Yeah, the right answer was.
Yeah.
Was the opposite. Yeah.
Well, but the trick question is just tell me, like, what you, I want to do this at a comedy. So, yeah, okay, then it'd be fun.
Yeah.
I know. You know, okay, so born in Guatemala, which I did not know either, and then Baltimore, New Orleans, Miami.
Sean, is this question going to make you sad?
Yes. But also fun. I'm going to have a blast.
Okay,
I'm
going to
have
a
blast.
All right, keep going.
Wait, all that moving around before you were 6 years old, and why? Because your dad. That's what I read, that he was doing his medical something. Is it all because of your dad?
Yeah, I mean, also just like that, yeah, the immigrant story of like, you know, coming to America for a better life. And so he grew up in D.C. He's Cuban. He was born in Cuba, but grew up in D.C. Mm-hmm. And then went to medical school in Guatemala, him and his two brothers. And that's where he met my mom. And then they had my sister. And then... then I was born in like week as I was 6 months old, and then we moved to DC first, like Virginia, Baltimore area. Did kindergarten there, then Louisiana because he went to LSU for his residency, and then Florida where we had family and his mom was there, and we lived with my grandma for a bit, and then
eventually became a doctor. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Was there any pressure on you to follow in his footsteps, or do you fully embrace the actor thing?
No, he kind of, he was also a bit of a frustrated artist as well. Like, he would make movies with his brothers on a, you know, 8mm camera. And
that's what the initial spark was for you too, maybe?
Yeah. He would, like, bring home, every Friday was, like, a movie night. And he would bring home these, like, mystery movies that we'd watch. And then he bought a camcorder, and we'd make, like, home movies.
So he must have been kind of thrilled when you kind of got into this a little bit.
Yeah, he was into it. He was into it great. Until I became competition.
Is he still with us?
He's still with us.
And so he must be so
proud. I brought him
proud.
To the Frankenstein premiere in Venice.
Oh, that's so cool.
Which was good.
Do you remember who the first actor was that he showed you that you kind of latched onto and was like, oh, I'd like to have those chops when I'm older?
Tim Curry.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Because I remember I saw, we watched Clue.
Uh-huh, I love that movie.
And then we watched Legend.
Uh-huh, I love
that.
And
when I realized it was the same fucking guy.
Uh-huh. What about Rocky Horror?
Yeah, Rocky Horror after that. Although Dad didn't bring that one home for movie night.
Yeah.
Yeah. But man, like I couldn't believe that was the same guy. And I noticed it because the way that his lip curled at one point as like the devil.
Mm-hmm. And you went like, so, oh my God.
Yeah. Oh, you can, whoa.
Yeah.
What about, not to jump around, sorry, but how about Cuba? I've always been fascinated with Cuba. Have you been able to go there since your dad has roots there?
I haven't been. No. I haven't been. You know, like I grew up in Miami, Cuban world, which is like everyone's so traumatized and afraid and so complicated. But I've wanted to go. We almost went when Llewyn Davis came out. Actually, we were going to go to the film festival, and then at the last minute, it didn't happen. But it's definitely a place I want to go.
What is the current? I feel so dumb. As usual, you can't go there freely.
It opened up for a moment.
Yeah,
under Obama, and then closed up, and now it's closed up again.
Okay. Well, as an American, like Canadians go. I know that a lot of Canadians go there on holiday all the time. There are lots of flights, and I know.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. That's right.
To Cuba.
Yeah.
I mean, why would you want to go? Like, because it's beautiful, or?
Oh, there's our quote for the day. There it is.
I mean, fuck
you. Enjoy your vacation.
I mean, it's an incredible place. You know,
how many
like
demographics are you trying to get rid of at once, man?
You don't.
No, I just didn't know what the draw was. Like, I know what the draw is.
It's beautiful.
Put the shovel down.
It's got incredible culture. It's got.
Okay. I just didn't know people are like, hey, I can't wait to go to Cuba.
They feel the same way about you and the mall. What's their dream? Why does he go to the mall all the time?
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, Oscar. So I grew up super, super Catholic. You grew up very, is it safe to say evangelical or Christian?
Evangelical.
Now
let's get into religion.
I think it's fascinating because, because you were like devout.
We're talking
right?
spiritual abuse.
Totally. Totally. I love talking about it. We don't have to talk about it, but I love talking about it.
Because I know zero about religion. Please educate.
Yeah, there's some wonderful Catholics, there's some wonderful Christians, and then there's the ones that are beyond hypocritical.
Do you guys know, like, what is the difference between Catholic, Christian, Evangelical, Episcopalian, Protestant, Methodist, Lutheran?
Well, they're all Christian. They're all under this big umbrella of Christianity, yeah. Right?
Is there a singular difference that separates each one of them, like as far as interpretation of the Bible goes, or yes?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that's
a short answer. It's kind of complicated.
But is it like an identifiable, like what, could it be a Jeopardy question? Like what is the single difference between Lutheran and Episcopalian?
Episcopal Church is Church of England, right? And it was established as a sort of an offshoot of Catholicism because Henry VIII wanted to be able to divorce his wife.
Jesus Christ.
He established the Church of England.
And Martin Luther comes along.
So of course it's a little bit different. It's kind of like, a lot of people describe Church of England as sort of Catholic light without all the pageantry. That's a sort of a simplistic view. Okay. And then there are all these different, yeah.
Yeah, and in Catholicism, there's a lot more intercessors, I guess is the word, you know, like the saints and people that you pray to. And like you said, the pageantry, which, to go to Frankenstein, is a very Catholic Mexican.
Look at this pro.
Version of it. But he talks about it very much in that way, you know? A lot of Christ figure, like the forensic nature of the crucifixion.
Yes. Mm. How about in the movie when the monster's up on the thing? It was just shy of being a cross.
We called it the crucifixion. There's even a thorn, you know, the metal thorns on the head.
No, totally. I thought it was cool. But was that a conscious choice of Guillermo or whoever to not make it a specific cross? But just at an angle,
have it a little bit angled.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Wasn't an accident.
Now, is working with Guillermo del Toro everything that you would hope and think that it is? He just strikes me as just such an infectiously enthusiastic and kind leader. Not to mention his creative abilities are just unmatched.
I was like a kid. There was just so much joy. It was so much fun. It was this particular approach to it too, where, I mean, while he was writing it, he's like, I'm making you a banquet. Mm-hmm. And he really did. It was just like a feast of stuff to do every day. We only spoke in Spanish to each other.
Oh, that's cool.
He would direct in jokes mostly, like dirty Mexican jokes, but also in like, and he was just ebullient, really funny. There was no whispering behind monitors, you know? It was like, if there was a problem, everybody knew it. If something was great, everybody knew it.
Oh, I love
that's
that.
Amazing.
It was really fun. He would, and it's like zero pretension whatsoever. You know, he'd be like, cabron, I need a lot of jamón on this one. He's like, jamón with mustard and mayonnaise to make it go down easy. I just need you to look up and look right past the camera and hold it. Or he'd be like, I need you to do the Maria Cristina, which is like a telenovela thing. You know, he's like, I need you to be in profile and then walk across a counter to him and then stop and turn around and look.
Right, super dramatic.
You know, he's like, just give it to me. Make this one Mexican happy, you know?
I love that.
The scope of the movie is so massive. Like, how long was the shoot?
I mean, it spanned nearly 8 months.
Mm. Wow.
Where was it? There was a two-month break where he shot miniatures in London. Wow. We shot it in Toronto and in the UK, Scotland, and...
Yeah, do you incredible. Do you when you do something like that with a director like that who has such a vision, right? And yeah. he has such a but from what I understand from you, also a very collaborative spirit. Do you not to get sort of too, but do you when you are in that your ability? What are the sort of the parameters, or are there any of sort of bringing stuff in your thoughts and feeling like you can just go out on mm-hmm. a limb?
Yeah,
with a guy like him, is it just pretty wide open in that way?
It is. Like, that was the one thought when I was going into it. I was like, I know he's an animator. I know, like, the visual language is so precise. Mm. And so I went in expecting, like, all right, the constraints are going to be tight, but that's the job. But he actually was in a very different. He talks about, like, making the movie with Bradley really shifted him. Like, it really opened him up in, like, an amazing way. And he credits
Nightmare Alley.
Yeah, Nightmare Alley. Yeah. He credits him a lot with, like, just him learning how to listen to the movie. He would talk a lot about that while we were shooting it. Just like,
oh, wow.
the movie kind of tells you what it needs.
Yeah.
In fact, at one point I was saying, like, hey, I don't, you know, I find myself, like, am I not shaking it up enough? Am I not, like, being kind of dangerous enough and going out on a limb enough? And he's like, no, that's an idea. It's like the movie kind of tells you what it needs, and however you're responding is what it's needing. Mm-hmm. And if it's needing you to be this way, then don't second guess that so much.
Yeah.
He gave a lot of feeling to all of us of, like, you can't fail. I wrote this stuff for you. There's nothing to, like, reach for.
Right.
Which was great. And also, it's a very specific kind of performance. He said, you know, it's not naturalistic. It's heightened.
Yeah.
I want speed of language, speed of thought. There's not a lot of pausing for you guys.
Right.
It's kind of high camp and high melodrama and just all heart. Like, that's what he wants it to be.
Yeah, all heart,
so
for
he was really specific about the tone before you guys got started.
Yeah,
that's helpful. That's really helpful, I bet.
For sure. Did he attempt to sort of give you a taste for that collectively by doing any sort of, like, table reads ahead of time or rehearsals in a group on, like, around a table?
No, he didn't want to do that so much. We did have one big table read with, like, the execs and all that. And that was it. I mean, because he was quite protective of the script as he was writing it.
Yeah.
You know, I think partly out of just, like, a little insecurity as well. Like, I'm not sure it's quite there yet. Mm-hmm. And so he kept adjusting. And, I mean, every day he was working. Like, even behind the monitor, he was drawing his storyboards. Mm-hmm. He would be quilting the movie as we went along. Like, sometimes you would do a take and he would, like, put it right into the flow of the edit, so he would just show you.
Wow,
like, we did the last scene of the movie, and the next day he came in with, you know, Johan Johansson music on it and showed the edited scene to me.
How did you like that, or how did it affect what you were doing?
Well, that example in particular was interesting because, you know, it was the last scene of the movie, and so I want to try to talk about it without giving too much away of it.
Sure.
But it's like a highly emotional crescendo of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I spent the day, like, in the zone, like, listening to all my sad sack music and, you know, like, looking at pictures of sad times, you know, doing, like, the full anti-Mike Nichols moment. And
this is in the Arctic.
This is in the ship.
Yeah.
And, you know, and, like, did, you know, and I went in and, like, didn't talk to anybody and I lay down. We did this scene and there was tears and everybody was really happy and Guillermo was, you know, high five and, all right, we got it. And then the next day he showed it to me and I was like, I don't really buy it.
Yeah.
I was like, was that take five? I thought take five was the good take. He's like, that's take five, cabrón. I was like, I don't think that's take five. And then we looked and it wasn't take five, but then take five wasn't that much better either.
Wow. Was it because you think that you came in with too much of that, too much of this,
check it out what happened. So I was sitting there and then Guillermo comes over and he's like, what's wrong? I was supposed to just do, like, a little insert of my hand, like, grabbing his hand. And he's like, what's wrong? And I was like, I don't know, man. I'm feeling a little insecure. And he's like, well, you are an actor. And I was like, I know. But I just feel like, should I have looked up maybe when I said sorry? Should I have, like, And he's like, no. Those are all ideas. You know, you were honest and you thought about your mom and you thought about all these things and that was there. And I was like, all right, okay. And then I went away for, like, 30 minutes. And I was like, well, I just have to be a dead body for the rest of the day. And I came back and he had set up a whole different thing. And I was like, what are we doing? He's like, we're going to do it again. We're going to do your close-up again. And he's like, you know
yesterday.
What? From yesterday. And he's like, you know what? It's okay. Like, we're going to see if, you know, we definitely have something. If you don't have anything, that's okay. I'll just make fun of you for the rest of your life. You know, win-win. And so, like, really quickly, I'm like throwing on my ear pods to try to like find a song to get me sad again. You know, like I'm trying to do all the shit. And I didn't have any time. I like lay down and we did it.
Yeah.
And we did like four takes and it was way better.
Yeah.
Just like I
didn't have time to try to like evoke anything.
Yes.
Or like it was like more sober. It was more severe. It just was like,
you didn't have to bring a preconceived idea of what it should be as opposed to just letting it be.
Yeah, and that's what's in the film, you know.
I love that.
We'll be right back.
And now back to the show.
So, but that adjustment in your performance came as a result of you watching what you were doing. And are you good about that? Because I'm sure you've worked with as many actors as we have.
No.
But like some actors, they don't watch themselves. They can't watch themselves. I learned so much from seeing how bad I am sometimes. It's like, oh, don't do that anymore. Or you think it's coming across this way, but it actually comes across
a different
way.
I asked Christoph Waltz, who's on it, right? It's like a fucking legend. I asked him specifically about that. And he's like, he doesn't watch. He's like, because it's okay if you watch and you think it's not good. Mm. But the bad thing is when you watch and you think it's good.
You
know?
Yes.
And like that can be way worse.
Yeah. Why is that bad?
Oh, because then it's cut together and you're like, oh, maybe it wasn't that great.
Or there's just like a self-consciousness or you think, you know, it's just for him. But this was, but there's many times when I've watched something and I'm like, I can do it better. And I can't, you know, so I don't know, man. I don't know. But but that was, there was a moment there after that happened where I was like, well, does this mean I have to watch every fucking take or every scene? And I just
said,
no, you know, I think, it's, for me, it's not like a definitive thought of like one or the other.
Yeah.
I've also asked a bunch of people this question as well, but with all
Are you single?
Yeah. And what is your sign? And your rising. With the incredible directors that you've worked with, do you ever fantasize about cherry picking from each one of them and becoming a smoking director yourself?
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, I thought originally that's what I kind of was more into. Like, I came into like acting from like making movies with friends and doing that. And I think about that sometimes.
Oh, that would be awesome.
You'd be incredible.
Please do.
You'd be great.
When you say think about sometimes, I wanted to, do you have an idea in your mind of something that's kind of back there?
I don't. That's why I'm like, until that thing happens where it's like, I think until that happens. What scares me a little bit is just I'm incredibly indecisive as just a human being, like even with a menu or with anything, I just get it. I get just crippled with like, I don't know. So like someone being like red shirt or blue shirt, I'd be like, I don't know.
Oh yeah.
but I guess it's also a conversation. It's like, I don't know, what's the difference? You know, so kind of looking at it, maybe it's more of a conversation than a decision.
Right.
How do you do that, Jason?
I mean, when somebody told me once, it's okay to say you don't know, it freed me up a lot. Like that, that's actually a great answer when they come to you with all those thousands of questions. You say, I'm going to come back to you on that. Give me a second to think about that.
It's okay to do that.
It alleviates a lot of the-
You mean in live, Sean, you're saying?
Yeah.
I know, I mean it. I'm being serious.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's like, a really important life. I do it too also when people go, they want an answer. I'm like, well, somebody told me like, I don't have to answer them on their timeline.
Mm. That's right. Yeah, I only learned it in like last 10 years where I've said,
I learned it a year ago.
I don't know what that word means. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Can you repeat what you just said? Like,
I
don't care anymore. I want to get back to, well, I don't care about being perceived as like this.
Right.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying.
Well, you know what?
It's actually helped me
with like the not remembering people. Like I just go out on a limb and I think your name is this.
Oh no.
If I'm wrong, it's okay. They say, no, it's not Kathy. It's Melissa. And I'm like, sorry.
I go, I go a step further, Oscar. I go, I think your name should be this. Sign a name.
Wait, so a little more of your of your personal stuff, Oscar, if you don't mind. Like, your wife is this Elvira Lynn. She's beautiful, talented, incredible documentary filmmaker.
Really?
Yeah, she's incredible. Incredible.
She is.
And she, I just saw the trailer, and I did not know this until I was researching you, for King Hamlet, which I can't wait to watch. It's you playing. What is it? Is it the making of the play Hamlet, and it's following you around from about the process from rehearsal to?
No way.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. So in 2017, it was this crazy confluence of things that happened where my mother passed away in February. We got married in March. In April, our first child was born. And in April, I started rehearsals for Hamlet, like this 4-hour version of Hamlet, this thing that I, you know, was working on for like 12 years. And so her being a documentary filmmaker and having a new baby and like just kind of not knowing how to process this, you know, she's from Denmark too, and she's kind of thrust into this whole other world of stuff. She just started picking up a camera and started filming. You know, around that time, before that, we were also filming, like I would play music and she would like film little music videos and we would put them on Vimeo and stuff. And so it was kind of a natural extension of that. And so she just started filming, because the idea was she was going to film some of the making of this project. And when all this stuff started happening, she just kept filming. So like when I went down to my mom for hospice, she was kind of there. And I told her, you know, this, the only way we can do this is if it's okay if this never sees the light of day as well. And she said, yeah, of course, of course. I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm just filming because I don't know what the fuck else to do. And so, so that's what we did. And she filmed this whole process and then put it away. And then about a year ago, took out the hard drives and started looking through it and started piecing it together with her great editor that she's
worked
with.
That's really cool.
And then she kind of came up with this kind of beautiful movie about what kind of what we do, right? Which is like how you deal with your life and how those things intertwine. And
Did she say to you, hey, remember that thing we said we'd never show the light of day? I'm working on it. Did she tell you that she's thinking about, or did she show you something first?
She showed me something first. She's like, hey, I've been putting this thing together. What do you think of this? And yeah, and I watched it. I was like, I don't know what I think of that, but keep going, you know, keep going.
Oh, that's really cool. And with a newborn on her hip the entire time.
Yeah.
She sounds incredible.
Yeah, she's incredible. Yeah, and she shot it as well. And it's very funny, too, because it's the absurdity of everything that's happening. Mm-hmm. And
it must have been very vulnerable to watch that.
Yeah, to watch it again. I mean, I hadn't seen any of that footage, especially with my mom and our family. And, you know, it was really, really intense, but really proud of her for doing it.
How did you guys meet? Was it at Juilliard?
No. She happened to be in New York working on something.
Right.
And it was like a movie she had finished, and it was like some after party for it. And my manager at the time was like, you got to come to this party. And I was like, I'm not. I am preparing for my Coen Brothers movie. I'm not going to go to this thing. He's like,
there's this chick.
You got it. You just got to come. And I was like, all right. But I'm going to go dressed as Llewyn Davis.
With my cat and my guitar.
Yeah, well, this is before I had started, right? But I dressed in the outfit and I was like, and I'm going to go and I'm going to like, I'm going to try to do this thing where I can project warmth without smiling.
Sure.
I want to see if I can do it, you know?
Sure.
Or like tell a joke but not laugh to let anybody know it's a joke and let's see what happens, you know? Uh-huh.
Wow.
And so I went in and I was like sitting there with my fingerless gloves and eating and nobody else was eating. And
and
her being like a documentarian was like, who's this little brown weirdo, you know, in the corner? Uh-huh. And like comes over and starts talking to me and then I told her I was a musician.
Perhaps you've heard of the closet heterosexuals.
And at one point she's like, I can't tell, are you flirting with me? And I was like, yeah I am.
That's cute. I love that.
That's how it started.
Are you a cat guy? I'm sure you asked. I bet that was the question at the junket, wasn't it?
That was the question.
Do you play guitar and are you a cat guy?
It's so funny. Like a lot of these things that I'm saying too, like I do realize there are anecdotes that I have said before. And so,
but they're new to us.
It's funny, like after you say, I don't know if you guys get this, but like saying anecdotes after a while, you feel like, I think I'm lying.
Right.
Yeah. I've said this so much. I don't think this is true.
Yeah. For sure.
But yes.
John, hang on with Star Wars. We'll get to it. I know.
I know. But Ex Machina Dune. I know. I can't wait.
I used to think that I could speak to cats, so I would like go to the backyard and like meow a lot, and cats would come.
Oh boy! Yeah.
Hang on a second. Then, let's just pause in here for a second, Oscar. Yeah. Go ahead, elaborate.
That was it. It was just like,
and they would come. Like that.
That's why you like the joke. That's nice. Why you like that nice. Joke so much.
All right, I don't have a lot of time.
Hit it with the sci-fi.
I don't have a lot of time. I got to get through this stuff because I want to know about. Ex Machina.
Ex Machina, incredible.
Listen to me. I've seen it like 10 times.
It's so good.
I know every line. Scotty and I quote it all the time. Yeah. You know, we still go, Kyoko, go, right? That made me laugh so hard. Wait, so it came out in 2014.
Yeah, how crazy.
Can you believe the relevance it has today?
Yeah,
I mean, Alex Garland, he's just...
Wild, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, he keyed into this thing. And even the way that we gather information, you know, he talked, you know, Nathan, the character I play, talks about like, well, yeah, you know, I'm going to, I gather all the signals from all the cell phones and I get it all, and that's how I
mean, everything you talked about in the movie is happening right now.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
I just...
Yeah, I wonder, does that occur to you when you see stuff or you're reading stuff that's going on in the world and you go, yeah, yeah, I was there.
Yeah. Yeah, it felt like that when I read the script, and then Alex Garland and I kept like talking about it, working on it. We would look at it from every angle and look at like the current, literature and everything that was going on at the time, and it mm-hmm. felt like completely locked in. And
it's amazing how it holds up.
Alex Garland is, I mean, this guy. I mean,
yeah.
Right. I mean,
well, let's hope not all your films are harbingers. Dune is a pretty bleak look into our future.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. But
incredible film, my God.
Amazing, yeah. And you're amazing in it. And Denis Villeneuve, like you get all the great ones that you get to work with. I read this. I want you to tell the guys if you want to. I can tell it, which is one of the best pranks I've ever heard of on any film shoot on Dune. When you after the nude scene.
Speaking of dance belts.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, you can tell it, Sean.
Well, it's called. What is it really called? You call it a cock sock, right?
Well, or a modesty sock?
Modesty sock. That's what it is. Modesty sock.
Not everybody calls it that, but yeah.
I'm going to get it wrong, but you left your... you did the scene and you had a, quote, modesty sock on, mm-hmm. and you put it in Denise's jacket pocket, yeah, right? And
his chest pocket.
And he later pulled it out.
Yeah, well, I left, and then I got a picture of him holding it like, what the fuck?
At the dinner table.
After the take, that's hilarious.
And then he said, he says this is true, that MoMA asked for it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, really? Really? Well, they'd be smart to get it.
They'd be smart.
Wow. Hopefully they got a wall big enough.
Yeah, right?
Good for you. Good for you. Good for you.
Shawnee, anything on Star Wars?
Yeah,
just the dumb question, the obvious question.
Is it real?
Were you a fan?
Right, he's Tatooine a real place.
Wait, look at this. Tatooine.
What's Darth Vader like in the morning?
the basic question is, were you a fan? Were you freaked out that you got the part? Like, were you a huge fan as a kid?
No, but my family were huge fans, like collectors. And my uncle in particular was massive
fan. He loved making that phone call.
Oh, man, that phone call was... it was great. And he came, he was an extra a couple times. He got to
live. Really?
I remember I brought him, and he died a couple years ago, which was, you know, but so rest in peace. But it was the most amazing thing. Like, I brought him, and like, I couldn't find him. Awesome. And he was like in Carrie Fisher's trailer, just like hanging out.
Yeah, that's crazy to me. That's great. Crazy. I mean, Scotty and I just visited the set of the new Star Wars movie with Sean Levy directing when I was in London, and we got to go to the creature shop. I mean, everything we're for. I don't know if you're into that, but I was just like, it's so cool that you were part of the reboot of this franchise. You were the first part of the reboot. I mean,
after 30
wild.
Years.
And look at where it's at now. It's like last night at the dinner table, Jason and we're all sitting around, and out of nowhere I go, has anybody seen the trailer for Mandalorian and Grogu? Just silence. Nobody's
except I said, I seen it and it's fantastic.
Yes, I can't wait to see that movie.
And didn't you say that you have not seen the trailer or you refuse to see the trailer?
Me? No, God, I saw it like 10 times.
Sound on or something like that?
Oh, no, I saw it. I love
oh,
it.
Oh, no, there was a guy I was with yesterday said that he will not see it yet because it'll get his, he won't see it until it's closer to release because he's just going to get too excited.
You can't sustain the excitement level.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, rapid fire before we let you go. Ready?
Yeah.
If we were roommates for a week, what would be the one Oscar Isaac quirk that would drive me insane and what's the one that I would love? You cook?
Sean.
Sean, look at you.
I don't really cook. I mean, I can cook, but I don't cook a lot.
So Sean's not happy with that. What would he love?
God.
What would drive you crazy?
You wouldn't love that I don't cook very much. What would you love?
Theater stories.
Theater stories, hugs. I'm very affectionate.
Oh, he loves a hug.
There you go.
Inappropriate, unnecessary, impromptu hugs.
Cocksuck hugs.
Who's most likely to win in a board game, you, Jessica Chastain, or Ethan Hawke?
I guess it depends on the board game, but, you know.
Scrabble. How about Scrabble?
Sure. I'm going to go with Ethan because, you know, he's like a poet and a writer and he's just, you know, that's good.
I can't wait to see his show.
Individual
Lowdown.
Man. Yes.
I know, me too. He's so incredible, that dude.
Yeah, love him. Yeah.
And I love that I read that you improvise lullabies for your two sons.
No way.
You just sit there with a guitar and you just make up songs for them?
I did. Well, now it's funny because like I did that for a while and then they were like, please stop.
And so they got old enough to say stop.
Yeah, they just didn't like whenever I would like play guitar or sing, and that went away for a bit. But recently in the last year, I just bought this looper pedal. Mm-hmm. So like, and we've got this, you know, I'll just kind of show you a little bit. Like we got like little drums here.
Oh, look at this.
And like guitars. Wow. There's the looper pedal down there.
Oh, that's cool.
And so we've just been making a lot of music together.
How old are they?
He's going to turn 6. Mads is going to turn 6 on Sunday, and Eugene is 8.
Oh my
wow.
God!
Wow,
prime time.
So I know, that's so good really to get fun. Them into that young.
And
Sean, how old were you when you started playing piano?
5.
Mm. Really?
There you go.
Yeah. What do they do? They have they seen Dad's movies or anything?
Yeah. Yeah, they've seen some of them. They've seen Star Wars. Eugene was actually asking me about Star Wars yesterday.
How are they with the notes? Are they kind with the notes, or are they?
they're a little tough with the notes, I gotta say.
Kids are tough.
I can't say enough about you and Frankenstein. I just think it's an incredible performance. Blew me away.
I can't say enough about you and everything, Austin.
And everything.
Including this interview. You were fantastic, and you were very nice to join us.
Yeah, you're a class act.
Really, really cool.
Thanks, guys. I can't wait to see what you did in that movie, man.
Oh,
yeah.
He's so good in that. Where do you see that? He and Bradley just rocked it.
Thanks, man. No, you're one of the great. You're one of our greats, man. For real,
Oscar. You are.
And you're a great dude. We hung out a couple of times. You're such a great dude. It's so good to see you, man.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being here,
Thanks
man.
For having me.
Enjoy the rest of your day. Good luck with Frankenstein.
Right,
we're all gonna go see it.
Oscar.
Thank you, Oscar.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Oscar.
Bye, pal.
Bye.
Well, that was tough saying good night to Oscar there. I could talk to him forever.
Oh my God, he's in so many of my favorite movies. I mean, that Ex Machina is just incredible.
Everything.
But wait till you see Frankenstein.
I can't wait.
Incredible.
Everything that guy does is so incredible.
I know. How is somebody so good?
I know. He's so good. It's all I have to say. I'm like blown away. I'm literally, we're all thinking here about all these different performances. You're like, oh yeah, he's so good in that.
So good at that.
Oh, he's so good in that.
Yeah.
Do you think it's something in the water at Juilliard? Or do you think they come in already
talented? I think
they
do a pretty good job of vetting and you know, there aren't, but what we should do is we should do an episode where we have the people from Juilliard who never did shit.
Yeah, right.
Right, to have them on.
Yeah. We were right. Or the people that didn't make it in. You know,
yeah.
Or the people who didn't meet was us. So there's three of us.
There we go. There's the first three.
Doesn't get shittier than us. And then,
do you think do you think they do, like, do you think they teach people musicals in Juilliard?
Like what? Can you think of any other top of your head?
Like maybe like Bye Bye Birdie.
Why don't you commit to it?
Bye Birdie.
That was a really short outro.
Smart.
Smartless is 100% organic and artisanally handcrafted by Michael Grant Terry, Rob Armjarve, and Bennett Barbago.
Smartless.